Those that are staying with me can turn to the book of Galatians. Well, it was 32 degrees on my porch this morning, and I went on ice almost to San Antonio on the roads. It's amazing. I thought that we were going to have hot weather. Galatians chapter 3. I'll begin reading at verse 13. Excuse me. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scriptures hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we ask that you'd give us a blessing. I pray you'd suit your word to the need of each individual heart. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Here's the essence of the gospel again. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse, being made a curse. Christ is our substitute. He's our substitute. And that's the basis of our total salvation. Our salvation does not rest on how good we are. Now, the truth of the matter is, when I see somebody that doesn't live like a Christian, I have my doubts where they are a Christian. I mean, if you don't have a change in your walk, in your talk, in the way that you live, then I wonder if you've ever really met the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, when He saved me, now I had religion 10 years before I got saved. I joined a church. I made professions. I did things, religious things. But you know what? They didn't change me. I needed a change in me. Now, I was not saved. And so I have a doubt in my mind when I see somebody, oh yeah, I'm saved, but they go on drinking, they go on running around, they go on doing a lot of things, and I say, well, I don't know whether you got it or not, you know? It sort of puts a doubt in my mind. And yet, when it comes to salvation, this is exactly it. It is a substitution. It is not because you have good works. It's not because you don't cuss, drink, smoke, or whatever. It's because you have Christ paying your debt. That's the difference. Christ becomes a man. He becomes our substitute as a man. As that substitute man, he lived perfectly, absolutely fulfilled the law in every case, and established a perfect righteousness. Now, your righteousness or my righteousness cannot even compare to that. Not after we've worked at it for 60 years. It just doesn't compare. It's not put on the same scale. They just don't meet anywhere in the place. Because either I have the complete righteousness of Christ or I don't get into heaven. If I have any part of me that's not covered by what Christ did, I don't make it into heaven. So it is absolutely a gift. And the old thief on the cross has got just as much righteousness as you do. And you've been preaching in the streets for 30 years. That's all right. That thief got just as much righteousness as you do. Now that doesn't mean he has exactly the same inheritance that you have. There's one thing about being justified by the righteousness of Christ. There is another thing where you can't lend, you can't give to the poor without lending to the Lord. Now that's an amazing thing. You give your money to the work of God for salvation, God considers it like a debt, although He owes you nothing. God considers it like a debt, like you lent it to Him. And He's going to come back to you with blessing. I don't think you're going to lose anything. In fact, the Bible makes it so simple, so common as you can't give a cup of cold water, not in the name of Jesus, only in the name of a disciple, will not lose his reward. Why? What an amazing thing. Now, but that reward is not salvation. Never was, never will be. It is not getting you saved. It is not keeping you saved. You are saved because Christ went to that tree. You deserved capital punishment. You deserved capital punishment. That's what the cross is. The cross is not suffering. They didn't hang them up there till they suffered for a while and then took them down and they went back to their life somewhere. Cross is death. A very painful, horrible death over several hours. And the reason why they break the legs of the two thieves is on the cross you're actually suffocating. And as you hang down, you can't breathe. And you have to shove up with your feet. And you can keep doing that and just keep going. Finally, when they break your legs, you can't shove up anymore and you die very quickly. That's how you die on a cross. A cross is capital punishment. It is death. And what Jesus do? He died. He paid my debt. Listen, if you ever get a picture of that in your mind, if you ever understand the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, you will never have patience again with religious works, earning your salvation, or keeping your salvation. And all the people that are teaching that do not have a clear picture of the cross of Calvary. Very simple. Once you see it, it's just as simple. You wonder, how could I have missed it for so long? How can anybody else not see it? It just is clear. Have you ever seen one of these carved little nameplates on a desk? About so high. It's Jesus. But when you first look at it, you can't see it. But then once you see it every time. Well, it's the way with the cross. Once you see, it is all on what He gave me. My salvation, my eternal life, my mansion in heaven, my fellowship with God forever. It's all in what He gave me. None of it is of me. None of it is of me. It's all in His merit. And I just believe it, receive it, and I've got it forever. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Now, by the way, there's an awful lot of the Bible that isn't dealing with that cross, and it deals a whole lot about work. Some of you don't like it when I say do, 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 do. Don't, don't, don't. Well, you're always preaching do and don't. Preaching do and don't. That's right, I am. Bible's got a lot of do's and don'ts in it. You ever read it? If you read your Bible, you wouldn't be criticizing me for preaching do's and don'ts because you'd have had enough of them coming at you from the page. Amen or oh me. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Because He was cursed, you and I are set free. That's wonderful. Now the Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. The blessing of Abraham. Now, we've talked about Abraham before. You're going to get Abraham everywhere you go in the Bible. Abraham in the history of the world. The three greatest religions, as far as numbers of people in the world, are Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And all of them claim Abraham as their father. Every one of them. Abraham's our father. Well, he's going to explain something here that's going to limit that a little bit. And they can truly say, the Jews and the Muslims can truly say their physical lineage is from Abraham. And they've got that. But as Paul describes it here, you're going to find that doesn't mean as much as you might think it ought to mean, or that they think it means. He says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That the Gentiles could have this blessing of Abraham, that's a revelation. Boy, a bunch of these Jews couldn't understand that. Even after the death of Christ for a number of years, many of those Jews did not understand this. They had a real hard time that these Gentiles are getting saved without becoming Jews. And so it was a tremendous controversy in the early church. How in the world could that be? But that's exactly the purpose of God. And they come through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now think about what that says. How do you get saved? You get saved because you say some words? No. There's some words you need to say. But you get saved when the Spirit of God enters you. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, you're not saved. If God has not come into your heart by the Holy Spirit, and He doesn't live in there, you're just as lost can be. And you have no chance because it's a completely different realm. In the spiritual realm, your physical body means almost nothing. Now, you may be the prettiest one in the room. And you walk around thinking, I'm the prettiest one in the room. I'm the prettiest one in the room. And your spirit is ugly as death. Ugly as sin. Well, pretty is pretty does, my mother used to say. That's an old quote. Pretty is pretty does. You may be right pretty in the flesh, but if your spirit's bad, who wants you? A lot of these pretty people, they end up in a lot of divorces. You know that? I mean, it isn't pretty. That's not the criteria. And a lot of you dumb boys, that's what you're looking for. And some of you dumb girls are just about as dumb, and you're like, oh, he's so handsome. Yeah, but he doesn't have a character worth dirt. Use your head for something besides hair fertilizer. Good night. You're going to have to live with this guy for a while. You're going to have to live with this girl for a while. And you can't live on love very long. Sooner or later, somebody has to wash dirty clothes. Somebody has to wash dirty dishes. Somebody has to cook. And somebody has to clean up. Somebody has to go to work and make a living. Yeah, live on love? Yeah, we'll see how long you can live on love. You better find somebody with character, male or female, bless your heart. Find somebody with character. Beauty is as beauty does. Well, let's see. I get lost on things like that. But I'm having fun. I don't know whether you are or not. But I'm having fun anyway. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. I get the blessing of Abraham. Wow! Abraham's our father. Abraham's our father. Abraham's my father. I'm an old Gentile. 57 varieties Gentile. Probably had a Jewish drop of blood in me. 57 varieties, and maybe more. If I knew my heritage, I would really be ashamed this morning. I'm glad I don't know. I didn't even know a grandfather. Both my grandfathers dead before I come along. Didn't never know a grandfather. Maybe it's good I didn't. I've heard some stories. One of them was a pretty ornery old cousin. From what I've been told. Well, I've got the blessing of Abraham, and I'm a Gentile. You know how I got it? Through Christ. Amen. Let me tell you something else. This is free. Doesn't cost you a dime.
Every blessing I got came through Christ. Every blessing I've got came through Christ.
Let me tell you what. I am thankful for Jesus Christ. I praise God for Jesus Christ. I'm going to be praising His name unless I lose my mind. Now, what I might say on a hospital bed or in a nursing home when my mind has been rattled, I do not know. I apologize for it already. But let me tell you what I got in my head, when I got my senses, every blessing I ever got, I got through Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful. So, you know, when you start bad-mouthing Jesus, or you just use His name in vain, it upsets me. And I did that many times before I was saved. But when I got saved, the Spirit of God came into me and embarrassed me every time I spoke in certain ways. And it just was just no time at all. I quit talking that way. I quit using His name in vain. And I think you ought to too. I think you ought to be careful what you say, what comes out of your mouth. And if you got a potty mouth, well then clean it up. Get some Sanovac and go to work with a good brush. Get your mouth cleaned up and your mind cleaned up. Quit embarrassing Jesus Christ with your potty mouth. Well, that was free too. Now, the promise of the Spirit comes through faith. Now, he's going to reason here just a little bit. Paul's doing a great deal of reasoning in this book. And he's doing it to show you the simple gospel. How beautiful it is. He said, you get this promise of Abraham, the promise of the Spirit of God, through faith. It does not come by law. You can just live ever so carefully. You can just walk ever so carefully. You can just put a guard before your mouth ever so carefully. It won't give you the Spirit of God. You know how you get the Holy Spirit? By faith. You believe. God says, I've got a gift for you. Believe it? Yes, sir. You got it. Man, what'd that do to your pride? Oh, we're all filled with pride. I've probably told this story too many times, but I'm going to tell it again anyway. I was preaching, and I was preaching how God had just really humbled me. And I said, you know, I got too much pride. God's always humbling me, so it must be I have too much pride. Little old lady, about 80 years old, was coming to the services regularly and said, Brother Kincaid, what do you have to be proud about? And it caught me. And I said, that is one of the best put-downs I've ever heard, huh? And it offended her because she didn't mean to put me down. You mean I put you down? I didn't mean to put you down. Well, sure, what do you got to be proud about? Well, really, take a look at yourself. What do you got to be proud about? We spend all our time bragging on ourselves. Oh, I'm such a wonderful guy. I'm so beautiful. I'm so handsome. I'm so smart. I'm so intelligent. I'm so. What do you got to be proud about? You really are the biggest fish in that 5-foot pond? There's a big world out there. Drop you in the ocean, you'd be a pretty small fish. Remember a story I read about this guy got himself in Who's Who of America. And he went over to his mother's house and said, Mom, looky here. And you know, that's a great big book with real small print. And he opened it up and showed her on the page. Said, look at there. My name is in the Who's Who of America. She said, honey, there's sure a lot of other names in there too. And there are a lot of other names in there too. Oh, we get so proud. How do you get it? By faith. You trust God and He gives you the Holy Spirit. You don't get it by law. You don't get it by keeping things. You don't get it by coming to Sunday school on time. You don't get it by being faithful and reading your Bible. You get it by simple faith, and it's a gift of God. And it's the gift of Abraham. The promise of Abraham comes from God through Jesus Christ. Now verse 15, and this is one of the clearest examples of what Paul is trying to teach that I know of. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Okay, let's just say, how do men do things? How do men conduct their affairs? How do they conduct their business? Okay, how is the manner of men? Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. We're not talking about a covenant of God. We're not talking about a promise of God. We're not talking about the Scripture. We're just talking about a last will and testament that any average man has. I've got one, do you? If you don't, you ought to. Really, even a handwritten one would save your relatives, if you have any, a whole lot of trouble. But anyway, he said, though it be but a man's covenant, a man's got a will. Okay, if I die, my dog goes to Nelda. Oh, no. You make out your will. And if you want your favorite pocket knife to go to your favorite grandson, well, you can write in there. And you know what they'll do? They'll give that dumb pocket knife to that poor kid. Yeah. And if you want all your money to go to your wife, fine. But if you want to cut her out of half of it, you can. You can't cut her out of all of it, but you can cut her out of half of it. You can write down almost anything you want in that will. It's an amazing thing. A man's covenant. Now, you can get one for $25. You can pay one $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 to have that will made out. This depends on your lawyer and how big the will is and how much money you got. But look what it says about it. I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed. If that will has been signed in front of witnesses and are notarized, and you got a copy of it, when you die, it goes into effect. And the chances are, in 99% of the cases, maybe much more, it goes just exactly like you said it. Isn't that something? You can just write out, I bequeath this to whoever. And when you die, I want you to understand something. Until you die, it is a worthless piece of paper. It has absolutely no effect. I can say all my money goes to my next door neighbor's cat. And until I die, that cat doesn't get a dime. But the day I die, it all goes over. Because we just have a thing in man's way he carries his law and his affairs. If a man's got a covenant, confirmed covenant, we follow that covenant. Isn't that something? And it is. It's around the world. And especially, has been for years. And you look here, we're back in the Bible. This was an established covenant here about 65 or 70 AD. He said, this is a long-standing covenant here. We'll obey a man's will. No man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now, recently, someone I knew very well changed his will. He knew he was ready to die. And he said, you know, the way I've got that will, it's not going to turn out good. He talked to me about it. Now, I didn't witness it. I didn't sign it. Whatever, but I knew what he was going to do. And he made some changes to make sure things went the way he wanted them to go. And when he died, that will went into effect. Just like he wanted it to do. And that's common, see? That's common law. That's been in many different societies and whatever. And in our society, far back as I can remember. And here in the Bible, there it is right there, about 65, 70 AD, old Paul's writing and said, man, if a man's made a will out, nobody changes it. Nobody annuls it. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. That's an interesting sentence. Who got the promises? Abraham and his seed. Now, you might, as many, take that seed as being plural. But Paul's going to make a difference. You want to know how much I believe in the verbal inspiration of the Word of God? Now, I'm a Bible believer. I can let you know right up front. I am biased. If the Bible says it one way, I'm for it that way. That's just, boy, it just got to be, have some other scriptures that, well, praise the Lord. Let there be light. I've tried to get those things on for about a half an hour this morning. Well, that wasn't supposed to be on the tape. Pardon me. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now, the natural, physical descendants of Abraham are claiming that what they have is the promise of God. Now, notice what Paul's going to do here. On a single word that is in the singular rather than the plural, he's going to build a doctrine. That's how clear the Word of God is. You better be careful when you study it. Because the truth is, the way it's written can really trip you up if you don't read it like it's written. It's not just what you think it says, it's what it does say. And here he's going to base a doctrine on whether the word is singular or plural. Notice what he says. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. All the blessings of Abraham come through Christ. All the promises of God through Abraham are in Christ. Some of you want to dress up like a Jew, look like a Jew, talk like a Jew, act like a Jew. Everything comes through Christ. Brag on Jesus. And to thy seed, which is Christ, you come behind no man. You come behind no man when you're in Christ. You got the first, you got the best. You got the mostest. When you got Christ. What are you lacking? Oh, well, I wasn't this, I wasn't that. I don't have this lineage. I don't have this heritage. Oh, you got it all. You're a descendant of Abraham. You're a descendant of Abraham. You got the promises God gave to Abraham. How'd you get them? I trusted Christ. And when I got Christ, I got the promise to his seed. Isn't that beautiful? It's very clear. And you're just going to have to call Paul a mistaken theologian, a doddery old man who didn't know what he was talking about, or else you're going to have to accept what he has to say. Now, personally, that doesn't sound like a doddery old man to me. It sounds like a very intelligent mind working on the Scriptures and reading them as they are. Now, you got to be careful because lots of times in interpreting Scripture, we make mistakes. We make mistakes because we don't know enough Scripture. We're looking at one verse and we don't know how that verse applies to other places. But this right here, this verse fits everywhere. Paul's not wrong. He's right. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. All the promises to Abraham are in Christ Jesus. And you, no matter what your heritage, no matter what you, if you're in Christ, you got the best of the best. You got all that you can get. You can't get any more any other way. Not by going back under the law in any manner. All right, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. When did the promises take place? 430 years before the law. The promise was already made. The covenant was already made. The deal was already done. The adding of the law 400 years later does not disannul or add to or take away. Nothing. Nothing steps in the way of these promises to Abraham that come through his seed, Christ. You got Christ, you got it all. Don't anybody tell you you need to go back under the law. You got to keep the law. You got to live by the law. You got to do this and do that. Man, I have heard so many things. Of course, I am an old man. I've listened to a lot of idiots in my day. I have heard people tell people how they have to be baptized to be saved. No, you got to be saved to be baptized. You got it backwards. We can dunk you in water 100 times and call it baptism. If you're not saved, you're really not. You still need to get baptized again after you get saved. Salvation comes first. Now, people say, well, now, if you don't take the Lord's Supper every week, you're going to lose your salvation. Oh, where did you get that? You've been smoking your pantyhose. Done something stupid or foolish. The law, or any kind of thing you do with the law, cannot disannul the promises of God in Abraham. And that promise is in Christ. And if you have Christ, you have it all. You cannot add anything to it. It just doesn't work. You're out of your cotton picking mind. Oh, yeah, no. To be saved, you not only got to come to church, but you've got to read your Bible, and you've got to do good works, and you've got to tithe, and you've got to... No, you don't. All those are good things to do. I wish you did them. I wish more of you did them than do them. Amen? And am I preaching to the choir here? Yeah, not even all of you are that good. Understand me? You can't add to this salvation. You can't add to this promise. I wish you were more faithful than my wife. I wish you were more faithful. I wish you were more careful than the cleanest Christian mind in this church. But by doing so, it does not add one thing to the promises of God. It does not add one bit of righteousness to your salvation. It does not make you any bit more saved or keep your salvation for even one day longer. You cannot do it. Everything you need and everything you've got comes through Christ. And all of the blessings that were to the Jew, that were the promises of God in Abraham, it went to his seed. And that's Christ. And when you have Christ, you have it all. You ought to thank God for Christ every day you get up. You ought to be praising God for his blessings. Now look at verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. Now notice what he's doing now. He's just reasoning with you. He's saying, now think about this. How does the inheritance come? Is it by promise? Or is it by law? If it is of promise, then it's not of law. If it's of law, it's not a promise. They don't work together. They're mutually exclusive. The law is the law. What about the law? If you keep the law, you have to keep all the law. I don't have any of my policeman brethren in here with me this morning. Generally, I got a bunch of cops in here. You better be careful in this church. We got a bunch of cops packing. I mean, we're well protected. I thank the Lord for every one of them. Buy them donuts. I I go down there through that school zone at 35 miles an hour, and this policeman pulls me over and says, "Sir, you were speeding during that school zone." "I didn't murder anybody, Mr. Policeman." He said, I don't care about that right now. You were speeding in the school zone." "But, sir, you don't understand. I don't beat my wife." He said, "That's a good thing, but that's not what I'm talking to you about." "Yes, but, sir, I didn't rob a bank. Sir, I'm not playing hooky from my job." He finally gets exhausted. "You broke the law. What'd I do? You went 35 and a 20. That'll cost you." Woo! You know, fines work real well. They teach you. Just paying $175 can teach you such lessons that the finest teachers in town talking to you over and over and over again don't get it across. But several times when one of these men in blue pulls you over and said, "You broke the law." "Well, you didn't break all the law. You just broke one little bitty teeny part of the law." I mean, we don't even repent over that. Do you? Do you repent over driving too fast? I don't repent over driving too fast. I don't even get convicted by it. Shamey, huh? Yes, I probably should be convicted by it. But I just naturally get on the highway and set my cruise control at 5 miles above the speed limit. I'm going to break the speed limit every time I get on a highway. And I don't feel bad about it. And most policemen let me run right through radar. Pew! They don't even kick on their motor. They don't even hit their siren. Woo, woo. They just let me go. But you know something? That law has to be exact. And that law is not forgiving. And that law does not give you promises. That law condemns you. That law says, "Lawbreaker, sinner." And that's why the promises don't come by the law. They come by faith. Now, what is faith? I believe it. I'll accept it. Isn't that simple? The gospel is simple. It's beautiful, but it's very simple. The beautiful thing about it is, I believe, and therefore I receive. Christ said, "You can have this. I'll take it. Thank you. Praise the Lord." That's it, my friend. And God gives the Spirit by promise. And that's the promise of Abraham. It does not come by the law. The law and promise are mutually exclusive. The law condemns. The law shows perfect righteousness. Yes, it does. Is the law good? Yes, the law is good. But it's bad for me, because when I see that law, it makes me a lawbreaker. As a lawbreaker, I'm condemned. But the promise doesn't even take my character into question. Doesn't take my works into question. Just gives out the promise. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't that wonderful? I love preaching the gospel. I thank God for saving me. That's the thing I think about day after day. You know, I got a lot of friends that aren't saved. Didn't get saved with me. How did I get saved? I really don't know. It's an amazing thing to me, but I am saved. And boy, some of my friends thought I had a bad dose of religion. I'd get over it in a couple of weeks. Most people do. But I haven't. In my 50th year, of saying, "Woo, I got a good deal." Praise God. I got saved. I got changed. I got transformed. And by believing a promise, accepting a promise, receiving a promise, and I got the Holy Spirit inside of me, never to leave me. Isn't that wonderful? And I didn't get it by going back and keeping the law. Let me give you a little side note. I couldn't have done that. And in case you're not enlightened, you couldn't either. If it's up to you keeping the law, you are doomed and damned and condemned forever as of this day and from here on. You don't stand a chance. So keeping any part of that law does not add anything to your salvation. Okay, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. So Paul makes it very clear. He makes several doctrinal statements that are just absolute, concrete statements. You don't get it by the law. You don't get it by Jewish traditions. You don't get it. It comes by promise. And it comes now through Christ. And when you have Christ, you have all the promises of Abraham. You're lacking nothing. Wherefore then serveth the law? Well, what good is the law? Goodness gracious, just throw the whole thing out. No, you know, we need to hear the law. The law needs to be preached. We need to know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We need to know, honor thy father and thy mother, because there's a lot of fathers and mothers aren't being honored today. A lot of young people don't think they're even supposed to honor their father and mother. They're freeborn, and boy, they're footloose and fancy free, and they know how to use a computer better than their folks do, so they're stupid. And you're smart. No, 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 no. They still need to hear, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And if we have a rebellious generation, your days may not be long on this land. We need to hear, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Boy, the whole church needs to hear, thou shalt not bear false witness. How about thou shalt not covet? In America, the people on welfare are rich people in comparison to the rest of the world. You on welfare, and you don't have it as good as some other people, and that's all right. Well, let me tell you what. You got it better than most of the people that ever lived. And the most of the people that are alive in the world today, you have it better. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added. Hey, it comes late. The law is not the first thing. The first thing was the promises. The law was added because of transgressions. Man, things are going bad and people aren't living right and they need to know how to live right. They need to know where they're wrong. That serves the law. Okay? Added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Now we got back up to seed as different to seeds. He said the law was added because of transgressions till the seed come. Christ. The law is added till Christ comes because of transgression. And what did Christ do? Well, he took me out from under the law. The day, the very moment that I got saved, he took me out from under the law and set me completely free. I am free. Because he went to the cross for me. He hung on the tree. He was cursed in my place. He paid the final and complete debt of the law for me. And now I'm free from the law. My law's paid up. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. You just look around the world at some of the religions of the world and compare them to this. There's no comparison. Absolutely no comparison. What a beautiful thing. The law serveth because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. You see, even all the promises made in Abraham were made in Christ. promise that was a blessing to Abraham comes through Christ, even though it was that many years before. All the blessings are in Christ. Everything is in Christ. It's all encapsulated in Christ. This one man, this one name. Don't ever do anything that diminishes that. Be careful what you do. Don't do anything that diminishes Christ in any way. You have to give up some of your freedom. That's all right. Give up your freedom. Don't do anything that diminishes Christ. Brings a bad reputation to Jesus Christ. And by the way, my sweet people, most of the people of the world never get a vision of Christ. The only thing they see of Jesus Christ is what they see of Him in you. Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? You talk about a shame? That the only thing the world can see of Christ is what they see of Him in you. But you are the light of the world. You are the city that's set on a hill. And if you don't show Christ, they'll never see Him. They'll never see Him. And those around you, they won't see Him unless they get a glimpse of Him in you. Whew. Now I tell you what, that's responsibility. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Ah, here we come to another good word. Man, do we have mediators. Our democracy is built of mediator after mediator after mediator. You know what? You get in the hands of the wrong mediator, you're in trouble. You get in the hands of the wrong translator, you're in trouble. You may be saying one thing, but he may say it completely different. And if you don't know, you have no idea what you're preaching. You have no idea what you're saying. You need go-betweens. Go-betweens all the time. Well, who is the go-between between God and all mankind? Mary? No. Buddha? How about Muhammad? It's Jesus. Bible says there's one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. What does that word one mean? That there's not two. That's what it means. There is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. That's the only mediator you've got. There's not another one out there to choose. Now, if you don't like this church, there are 1,000 churches within driving distance of here. Don't hang around here and criticize what we do. If you don't like us, move on. I freely invite you to leave. I mean that. With all my heart. I would not sit in a church I was disappointed in, mad at, upset at, year after year, grumbling and griping and fussing with 1,000 churches in driving distance of me. I'd find one certainly that I could enjoy. You're not limited to one. Oh, but when it comes to getting to God, you are limited to one. There's not another choice. There's not another opportunity. You got one man to go through. You can't get to God any other way. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now you think about that statement. You talk about an exclusive statement. What Jesus tell you and everybody else that reads that verse? You and everybody else in the world, I am the only way. There aren't two ways. All roads don't lead to heaven. All roads may lead to Rome, but all roads don't lead to heaven. There's only one road. It's a very straight, strict, narrow road. Jesus. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Well, I really don't like Jesus. I'm going to go another way. Well, you just go ahead. Have at it, man. You're not going to make it. Ah. In the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator one, but God is one. We have one God. Some people accuse Christians because of the doctrine of the Trinity. They accuse Christians of having three gods. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you that the Bible says in Colossians that in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead, which is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, bodily. When you see Jesus, you see all of God there is. He's God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And there's enough scriptures to put that together, too. You just look in scripture after scripture after scripture. Man, you're going to find out Jesus is the Father. You're going to find out He is the Spirit. You're going to find out when we come and make our abode with the Holy Spirit in you, is God the Father and God the Son living right there. I'm not praying to a God way out there beyond the North Star. That's where heaven is. Way out there in the north. Promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west nor the south, but from the Lord. The Lord's in the north. Read your Bible. It's an enlightening thing to read your Bible. One God. One mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus. Hey, God bless you.